Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today we celebrate this feast of Saint Elizabeth of Hungary, patroness of the Franciscan Third Order. Saint Elizabeth was born in the year 1207. That's when Saint Francis was alive, and in fact he hadn't even started his order yet. That would begin in 1209. So she was a contemporary of St. Francis, and actually later on in her life received a message from St. Francis. I'm not sure whether that was in writing or just by word of mouth. So she was born in 1207 to the daughter of a very faithful king, Andrew II of Hungary. And she was so lovable and charming a child that another ruler of Thuringia wanted her to be the bride of his husband. So they were both little children, and I guess what was sort of the custom back then, she was brought to her future husband's castle so as to be raised together. And so that's what happened. When she was only 3 years old, she was brought to her future husband's castle. And so the two children grew up together, and they grew up in lives of piety. Okay, they were friends right from the beginning, and it says they vied with each other in acts of piety and charity. And so once they got old enough, this son, whose name was Louis, once he took over as his position as a ruler, married Elizabeth, and the description of their marriage is this. It says, their marriage was unusually happy. Now, what does that say? Well, it's saying that usually marriages are not happy. Would we all agree with that? I mean, I think the statistics actually prove that, because, if I'm not mistaken, the majority end in divorce. And even the ones that don't end in divorce, are they happy marriages, or are they continuing merely out of convenience, or there are no better prospects out there, that type of thing? And why is that, that a happy marriage is unusual? Well, I would say that because usually souls, husbands and wives, choose the wide and easy path that leads to perdition, the wide and easy path of vice and sin. And when you have two people living in such close proximity, living lives of vice and sin, that is going to be an unhappy situation. In fact, the saints would say that they would experience a foretaste of the hell that awaits them. Isn't that a terrible thing? But when you have two souls who are saintly, they have chosen the narrow and difficult path that leads to heaven, the path of virtue, of faith and love of God. Well, God blesses that generosity and self-sacrifice by granting them an unusually happy marriage. And so that's what we have in the case of Louis and his saintly wife, Elizabeth. Now, that doesn't mean that Elizabeth would be spared the crucible of suffering. Okay, this was also the will of God to perfect her in the love of God and neighbor by taking from her her earthly love. And so her husband died at a young age, and his brothers, who were not so pious, cast her out of the castle, left her in destitution and poverty with four young children, the youngest being only 2 months old. And so Elizabeth did not get disheartened, as we read in today's gospel, right? She did not curse those who did evil to her, but she blessed them and prayed for them and continued to embrace the will of God in these great difficulties. Again, she was a Third Order Franciscan, placed herself under the care of a Franciscan friar who was her spiritual director, and she would go on to continue her pious works of charity, especially caring for the poor. And so what can we learn from Saint Elizabeth? Well, we can learn many things, and I'll just read a little reflection from her biography. Many people believe that the way to maintain their dignity is by proud and domineering manners and by exterior pomp and finery. Elizabeth thought otherwise. She looked upon vain pomp as a form of slavery in which the soul basely serves the detestable vice of pride, the sin through which our first parents lost their nobility in paradise. The Son of God gave his own blood to atone for that sin, and only by means of that royal purple have we been restored to the position of children of God. That is why Elizabeth loathed everything that savored of pride, always remaining as humble and submissive as a child. Do you permit the nobility of your soul to be sullied by pride and vanity? Consider how Almighty God prepares the soul which he has endowed with such nobility for its destiny in eternity. In company with all the angels and saints, the soul is to enjoy the most intimate union with God. That is why God permits many trials and hardships to come upon human beings, so that their fidelity may be proved and everything unworthy may first be removed. But he who tries to escape the test of the cross and seeks sensual pleasures makes himself unworthy of nobility of soul and exposes himself to the danger of losing it. He who wants to be faithful to God but submits only imperfectly to his ordinances must pass through a severe purification in purgatory before he can enter heaven. Only the soul that has been thoroughly purified here on earth can be admitted to heaven immediately after death. When Elizabeth departed from this life, her soul was radiant in the full brilliance of its nobility. In trials, she had thanked God, and then she submitted to the strict guidance of a confessor, Conrad of Marburg, who completed the preparation of her soul for heaven. So while there is time, prepare your soul so that when you die, it may be ready for heaven. Saint Elizabeth of Hungary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.